All righty, let's open our Bibles this evening to the book of 1 John, chapter 1, please. 1 John, chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I want to say something to you that will kind of springboard us into our message tonight. A high view of self leads to a low view of God, which in turn gives way to a small view of salvation. What do I mean by that? When we think that we have it in ourselves to be good enough, we think we're good enough by our efforts, by our works, that we can have Jesus plus. What does that do to the personhood of God and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross? It cheapens it. It diminishes it. A high view of self leads to a low view of God, which leads to a small view of salvation. So what must I do to be saved? Not much. Except be good, cross my T's, dot my I's, right? And maybe I can call out for Jesus' help every once and again. But by my efforts, I can pull myself up by my own spiritual bootstraps. Is that true, church family? No. A high view of self leads to a low view of God, which in turn leads to a small view of salvation. All right, 1 John chapter 1, please. What the Bible teaches is a low view of self leads to a low view of self leads to a great view of God, which in turn leads to a great view of salvation. That's what the Bible teaches. Low view of self, high view of God, great view of salvation. Right? 1 John chapter 1, and I'll read verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice, if we confess our what? Some of you have been taught well in the Bible. I would probably say most of you here, you have great Bible teachers. You have Scott. You have Brother John Bob. And, you know, you've been taught well for years. So, can somebody tell me what the Greek word for the word sins is? Hamartia. Hamartia. It's a rough sounding A. That's if you spell it out, you spell it out with an H. H-A-A-M-A-R-T-A-T-I-A. Hamartia. Which means this, if you're taking notes, write this down. It means to miss the mark. To miss the mark. That's what sin means in the New Testament. To miss the mark. In its most simple, condensed way, sin means to miss the mark. Okay? So let me ask you a question. What's the mark? Salvation? The high calling? Okay. What's that? Now we're getting some of the standard of Jesus. See, this definition, hamartia, was used of a marksman that would draw back an arrow and shoot at a target. And when his arrow missed the target, you could say it was hamartia. He missed the mark. So what is the mark? Go with me to Romans 3. And, okay, Romans 3, verse 23, for all have what? Sinned. That Greek word is the same Greek word, hamartia. All have missed the mark and fall short of the glory of God. Okay, listen carefully. There are many different applications of that word glory in the Bible. Not all of them, they're not all synonymous. They have different meanings. One of them means the glory of God. There's a Hebrew word for that which is used, and it means, it is shekinah. The shekinah, which means in the Hebrew, it is weighty. The presence of God was weighty. We saw one account in the Old Testament. If you read your if you've read your Bible in the Old Testament, I'm sure we all have, where the priests that were ministering to the Lord could not stand. They were on the ground. They could not stand because God's presence was so heavy in the temple. The weight of God's glory. That's one definition. What about when we render all glory to God? That is majesty. That is magnificence. We render magnificence to God. That's an entirely different definition. In this case, glory means this. It's a Greek word doxa, D-O-X-A. It means this, God's perfect goodness. God's perfect goodness. And church family, that is the mark. Doxology. That's where we get the word doxology. That's right. So how many of you would say you have missed the mark? How many of you would say you missed the mark every second of every day that none of us can attain God's perfect goodness of our own works? Right? So on that understanding, can we really say that we can do it on our own, that we're good enough, you know, that I've done enough good deeds to outweigh my bad deeds at the end of my life? I was raised with that understanding. That's crazy. If you live that way, baby, you're going to be shocked that at the end of your life, you're going to be busting hell wide open. Yes, sir. You have to go through Jesus. God's perfect goodness. That is the mark. So given that, how often do we miss God's perfect goodness? Who's ever attained it? Only one person has attained God's perfect goodness. Jesus. Remember that one time when the rich young ruler went up to him and said, good master, good teacher, what must I do to inherit life? What did Jesus say? Why call me good? There is no one good but God. Was Jesus saying I'm not good? No, Jesus was saying I'm God. Huh? Right? I'm God. He wasn't saying I'm not good. How many of you know Jesus was perfectly good? He said, I have not come to destroy the law. I have come to fulfill the law. And he fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law through perfect obedience. Right? So only he perfectly hit the mark. God's perfect goodness, day in, day out, 24/7, 365 a year for 3.5 years. 33.5 years, sorry. Was just counting his ministry. Go with me to the book of James. So let me ask you, what does hamartia mean? What does sin mean? Miss the mark. And what is God? What is the mark? Thank you, Miss Karen. God's perfect goodness. How many of you know that we all fall short? Notice, I get a kick when some Christians quote that verse, for all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. That's not the way that verse reads. That's not the verb tenses in that verse. It does not read, all have sinned, all have fallen short. No, it reads, all have sinned, past perfect tense, all fall short, present tense. I still fall short. I'm going to fall short tomorrow. I'm going to fall short the day after. Every day of my life that I've lived up to this point, I have fallen short. Amen? And I will fall short every other day of my life. We're nothing but a bunch of falling shorts. James chapter 2. Buckle your seatbelts. James chapter 2, verse 10. Notice, for whoever shall keep the whole law, yet stumble in how many points? One point of the law. This person is guilty of having broken how much of the law? All of it. Oh. So God does not grade on the curve, does he? The law demands what kind of obedience? perfect obedience. I seriously doubt there's one human being that has kept the whole law and only violated one minor point of the law. I seriously doubt it. Okay, I'll be man enough to tell you this evening that I have broken all 10 of God's commandments. Right? Some of you are like, Okay, let's go by Jesus' definition. Okay? Let's not go by the written letter. Let's go by the intent of the law, not the letter of the law. What did Jesus say adultery was in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28? If a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he has committed adultery with her in his heart. Guilty. You know, thankfully, one thing that as a believer, as a man of the pulpit, man of the cloth, I have learned how to train my eyes because I'm always at the gym. And I think that some chicks go to the gym. Do not edit this out. This needs to be in, Ms. Sheila. Some chicks go to strut their stuff. And I think they like the attention they get. And so I don't help giving them any. But I've had to train my eyes because I don't want to look upon things that'll cause me to entertain thoughts that will lead me to sin. Can I get a witness, please? You know, the Bible says in the book of Job that I've made a covenant with my eyes. And I've made a covenant with my eyes not to gawk at women and not to look at them in a disrespectful way. Does that make sense, church family, without me getting more clear? So I have committed that sin, adultery, okay? I have murdered. You know, 1 John chapter 3 says that if you have hated your brother in your heart, you are a murderer. So who can say with me that at one point or another in your life, I'm not saying that it's true now, but at one point or another, how many of you have murdered somebody in your heart? There you go. So, oh my, thank you for that. For the sake of the videotape and the video, this lovely lady said she has murdered several people. She's a serial killer in her heart. You see, when we start going by Jesus' definition, it's a whole different ballpark, church family. You know, some people carry themselves as high and mighty because they've never taken a gun and never murdered someone. Let me make a distinction here. There's a difference between kill and murder. The Bible does not say thou shalt not kill in the Ten Commandments. It means the true Hebrew definition means to murder, not kill. How many of you know a lot of servicemen and women go out and their job is to protect our country, and in so doing so, if they kill people to defend it, they're not doing wrong, they're doing right. We're talking about murdering innocent people with no cause of defending anything. That's murder. And Jesus says that too is hate in your heart is murder. Well, we don't even have to ask this question. Who's ever dishonored their father and mother? Who ever got the whip? Or what about, let's go off the first commandment. America's notorious for breaking the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Guilty. Anybody else say guilty? Amen. So who could say with me, you have broken all 10 of the commandments? Ah, I like those hands. Thank you for your honesty. And if you didn't raise your hand, you just broke one. You bore false witness. Right, love? So notice what this verse says in James chapter 2, verse 10. Whoever keeps the entire law, notice, yet stumbles. Notice the word. He stumbles. He doesn't even violate it out and out. He merely stumbles in one point of the law. He is guilty of having broken how much of the law? All the law. Let's read verse 11. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So if you have transgressed the law once, listen carefully, my family, if you have transgressed the law once, when you stand before God, you'll be guilty of having broken how much of it? All of it. All of it. So how much sense does it make in light of these scriptures that we've seen already up to this point? How much sense does it make for people to tell you, well, just do good, be good. At the end of your life, God will weigh your good deeds up against your bad deeds. And if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you're going to go to heaven. You're going to bust hell wide open. Amen? Can I say it this way? Good people go to hell. Bad people go to heaven. Let me qualify. Bad people who have turned their lives to Jesus. Now you're up. Don't break through your deodorant, brother. I was getting there. Bad people who go to Jesus. Was that chick that we looked at this morning, was she a good gal? Did she mind her P's and her Q's? Was she faithful? Did she have one man? Was she a one, how does that song go? I'm a one-man woman. But that gal from the town of Sychar, the Samaritan town of Sychar, was she a good woman? Did she have a reputation? Oh, my goodness. The other women of the town criticized her, made fun of her, ridiculed her. They talked about her. She was the talk of the town. Right? That's why she fetched water at noon when it was hot, to avoid all of that. And notice, when she went back to the town to tell people about Jesus, what gender did she talk to? She avoided all the women altogether, didn't she? But she went to the men. I wonder if she had a black book. Okay, so far so good, church family. Okay, go with me to 1 John chapter 2. So, back to the opening statement. A high view of self leads to a low view of God, which in turn leads to a small view of salvation. We know better than that, don't we, church family? We know that without him, we can do nothing of spiritual significance. Amen? Without Jesus, he said, without me, you can do nothing. Thankfully, I'm not without him. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. And it is through him and him alone and his blood that I can stand in the presence of the Father without a sense of inferiority, shame, guilt, or condemnation. Amen? Right? I can stand in full delight of my Heavenly Father without the fear of punishment. Why? Am I standing on my own good deeds, or am I standing there in his presence on the track record of Jesus Christ? I'm standing in his record, right? I'm standing there in his name. I'm standing there on the premises of his work for me that I've accepted into my life. Am I right? So really, what's that, Tweety? By his grace we stand, and by his grace alone. Right? Baby, you never want to ask for justice in your life. You know, people get grace and mercy and justice confused. I'll illustrate this. Gabby's here. She can attest to this happening. One time when we were in Mason City and I was driving with my youth pastor, we were going on a road trip from Mason City to Effingham. And my ex and my daughters were in another car. Well, they were driving a car that had no get-up. My car had some get-up. So I shouldn't have done it. I was passing cars, and my ex and the girls were trying to keep up with me. Well, that car had no get-up, so while they were trying to pass a car, here comes a car coming at my ex's car and the girls' car, caused the other car to go on the side of the road. We were driving into Taylorville. I remember it clear as day. Well, the guy that was driven off the road called the cops and said, there's a lady, crazy lady, that's driving recklessly. So I was driving, and then I could see my ex and the girls in the car behind me, but I saw all these police cars driving behind her. She was oblivious because I'm motioning, pull over, pull over. Nothing. She's just driving. So I finally pull over. She pulled over, and four cop cars pull over. I thought they were going to come out with their guns drawn. I kid you not. She rolls the window and sheepishly explains the situation. They gave her a warning. I chewed her out. I said, what are you thinking? I said, why don't you drive at your speed? You know how to get there. You don't have to keep up with me. So I give him a chewing out, right? And so my youth pastor, he was like, praise Jesus that she didn't get arrested, you know. Jeez. So we take off, and I'm thinking, okay, now that she's not keeping up, I'm going to gun it. So I'm gunning it. I get pulled over by a cop. Can we say that whatever happened to her was mercy? That was mercy. She did not get what she deserved, right? That's what mercy is. You don't get what you deserve. I get pulled over while the cop is writing me a ticket. My ex and the girl drive by, honk, and my head goes.
You got what you deserve.
I got justice, sister. That is justice. I got what I deserve. Are you going to rub it in? Now, do you want to know what grace is? Let's say that cop pulled you over, and instead of giving you a ticket, he took out his checkbook and wrote you a check, giving you something you did not deserve. Let's go over that again. Mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. Justice is God giving you what you deserve. And grace is God giving you something you don't deserve. Can I get a witness? It's good stuff, huh? Right? Okay, go with me to 1 John chapter 2, and we will be done. So far, so good. Was this good teaching? It makes it clear, doesn't it? 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. Okay? What is God's goal for his word? That we not sin, right? But notice, and if someone sins, better read in the scripture, in the Greek language, and when someone sins, and when anyone sins. How many of you know that it's not if you'll sin again, it's when you'll sin again? Because like we talked about, how often do we miss the perfect goodness of God? Daily. We miss the mark every day, okay? Notice, I write these things to you that you may not sin, and when anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Whoo! What's an advocate? A lawyer. One who stands in the defense of another. So listen, every time we sin, what's Jesus saying to the Father? Don't hold them to account for that. It's covered by my sacrifice. Wow. Wow. Every day, Jesus, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he ever lives to make intercession for us. Who's he making intercession for us? To whom is he making intercession for us? To the Father. See, Jesus is the defense attorney. We are the guilty party. How many of you know we're guilty? Right? We're guilty. Jesus is our defense attorney. God the Father is the judge. Right? Now get this. I once was reading a catalog and I came across, they were selling stuff, you know, and one of the things on sale was a t-shirt that read, a good lawyer knows the law. How many of you know that Jesus knows the law? He wrote it himself with his finger. Right? The next part, the back part of the shirt read, a great lawyer knows the judge. How many of you know Jesus knows the judge? That's his Father. So listen, I can't lose. My attorney, your attorney, knows the law, and he knows the judge. And he goes to bat for you every time you miss the mark. So how great then is our salvation?